anyway, what kind of grabbed me this morning was the greatest commandment, which we see come out in the Gospels, but it was from back in Deuteronomy that it was first given when Moses was talking to the second generation of Israelites that had come out of Egypt, that had survived the 40 years in the wilderness. It was shortly before they went in. He gave them many commands in that. But near the beginning of Deuteronomy, he gave them this command, which was that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And the second we know is like it. It says you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I was just, what grabbed me this morning was just the thought of being commanded to love someone. And I was thinking about it in a very natural sense and thinking, if you met somebody and they commanded you to love them, it doesn't necessarily, like, it's an interesting thought, because it's not like if I met Whitney and said, thou shalt love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, I'm not sure that would have produced the love that I was looking for when we first met. So it was just that thought of, it's interesting. So there's one, is this interesting thought that we have been commanded to do it, but just being commanded to love someone doesn't necessarily produce that love. So the two thoughts that were in my mind is, one, clearly, this is the greatest command. We want to obey this command. We want to do this. If our desire is to serve the Lord, there are things that, you know, would be there. Like Andrew shared, we desire to know the Lord's will. Now, this is the greatest commandment of all that the Lord said. It came up in the Old Testament, and then when Jesus was questioned on it in the New Covenant, this has to be something in our hearts to say, Lord, I want to do this. I want to love you. I want to have that first love, and I want to have love for others. And we know from the Gospels that simply knowing the answer was not enough, because the couple times that it came up, there's a time in Mark 12 where somebody asks him this and Jesus responds, and the guy says, well, you've responded correctly. See, this is more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And then it says, Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently. Wow, this guy's smart. He knows. And then it said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. So simply being able to know that we're to love him, and that loving him is more than sacrifice and offerings, all of this, there has to be something that changes in our heart where, Lord, there is this longing and a love for him. And then similarly, another time in Luke 10, it comes up, the question comes from a lawyer to test Jesus. What's the greatest commandment? What is written in the law? And Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And then he says to the man testing him, he says, Jesus asked someone testing him. And that was the man's response. And then Jesus says, you've answered correctly. Now do it and you will live. So again, simply being able to say, yeah, this is the command. Jesus is saying, do it. And then there's life. And so it was just something that I pondered on. So then the question becomes, how do we do this commandment? And one, we were talking about it this morning, a couple of us and one brother said, which is so true, just said, you know, part of doing this commandment, strangely, is realizing we can't of ourselves do the commandment. When we come to the end of ourselves and say, Lord, I can't do it. Like, in me, there's not a love. And simply you telling me to love isn't producing the love. It's I need you, Jesus. And when we come to that place and we're broken, and there's a combination, and we're broken, but we see our own shortcomings. We see all that he's done for us. That's what it says in the one where it says, there's that time in John where the woman comes and breaks the alabaster jar, I think it is, and pours, and weeping on Jesus' feet, and pours the perfume on his feet. And then Jesus says to Simon, who's there, they're judging this lady, and he says, Simon, let me tell you a story. And in the end, they say, who loves much? The one who has been forgiven much. And we've all been forgiven much. And so just being reminded of that. And I was thinking about that because it's interesting. If you go back to Deuteronomy 6, where Moses says this, he hearkens them back to remembering what God has done for them. He warns them and he hearkens back. He says, watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So he reminds them again of the salvation that they have in God, they had in God. And he warns them, he says, hey, when you come, when you go into the promised land, be on your guard that you don't forget. Like he says, when you got houses you haven't built and you got full of good things which you did not fill and hewn cisterns which you did not dig and vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord your God. So there's this coming to a place where we realize we need Jesus. And the other command we have, which is equal, I think, to this, even though they say this, and because if you get into 1 John, and I just really was into 1 John, I encourage you to have a look at that in light of this command. There's a command in there. It says, this is the command. This is his command, 1 John 3:23, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. So believing in Jesus Christ, there he almost swaps loving the Lord your God with believing in Jesus. I think the two are right there. When we come to believe in Jesus and we come to him and see that God so loved us that he sent his son to die for us, and we see what Jesus has done for us, then all of a sudden it says we love because he first loved us. And when we're reminded of all that he's done, and I'm just, these are things we know, but it was great for me just again to be reminded of this morning. We can wake up and we can do our routine as I was in that place this morning, make my coffee, I sit down to have my quiet time. Is that love there? Is it like, wow, I get to spend time with Jesus. I get to spend time with my Heavenly Father. Or is it, this is my routine. This is what I do. And this morning, it felt a bit like, this is what I do. And it just caused me to stop. And I actually opened to Revelation chapter 2. And I read this verse, you've left your first love. And I began to just ponder on that. And man, when we just step back and say, wait a minute, he says, remember from where you fall. Remember the first works, but think about where you once were. And for me, that's being reminded, just like Moses reminded them, hey, think about how God brought you out of Egypt, the way that he sent the plagues, but he protected you. And then the way he brought you to the Red Sea, and then how he made a way of salvation through the Red Sea, which was impossible. Many of our own lives, our own testimonies are exactly like that. We can think of how we were enslaved to sin, and yet how God delivered us. And it's good not to look back to the old life, but be reminded of what God has done. When we're reminded of what he's done and how much he's forgiven us, then, man, all of a sudden, thank you, Lord. This is his commandment, that we would love him. This is what he wants. Believe in me. Love me. And then, as Andrew shared, he goes on to seek to, Lord, what is your will for my life? And knowing this, what is your will? I want to walk in obedience to that. And I just want to encourage us again, let's not lose sight of that. And 1 John has just wonderful, the whole thing, you get this. And there's warnings in there again. Moses warned them, hey, don't get caught up. When your Heavenly Father, who gives good gifts to his children, brings you into this land and gives you all this stuff that you didn't work for, don't lose sight of the giver of the gift and get distracted by the gifts. 1 John 2, same warning, but a little bit different, but very similar. Do not love the world nor the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is in him. If anyone loves the world, we're not fulfilling the great commandment, which is to love him. We become distracted. Those thorns and the thistles that we saw in the video, they begin to choke out the seed. And that fruit that we're looking for, which is first and foremost love, it gets choked out. And he reminds us shortly after, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And so let's just be reminded again this morning of how much that God has done for us, just to rekindle. Perhaps you're there. If you're there, praise God. Don't guard yourself that we don't lose that first love. If you're sitting there, maybe like I was this morning, and you're feeling like this is all routine. It's Sunday morning. Get on Zoom. It's almost easier now. Just get on Zoom. I go through the routine. 11:30, it's done, and I move on to whatever else is in my mind. And please, I'm not saying looking down on anyone. This is my trap. This is my danger. It can be like mapping out what the rest of the day looks like, which is not wrong. But let us not become distracted from loving him with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind, with all the strength, being reminding ourselves daily, Lord, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for how you brought me out of slavery and how you set me free and all that you're doing for me and all the hope that I have in you. And then we can continue on just recognizing and being on guard at the same time. The enemy wants to distract us. That was Moses' warning back then in Deuteronomy. And we still have many warnings. But let us continue to press on. And if you're going to read, I encourage you just to have a look at 1 John if you have time. But you get into it and you get into chapter 4. And there's just so much there in terms of the warnings. But how do we fulfill this commandment? It is through Jesus Christ, believing on his name, seeing that it's not of ourselves, and just allowing his spirit to work and allowing that fruit to bear out in our lives, like we saw for the kids this morning, but we saw for all of us. And then it comes first for God, and then we can have love for others. And man, there's just so many good things, but we've come to know, and there's faith in this. Just like doing God's will takes faith, because we have to ask him to direct us and believe that he'll do it. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask, and God will give generously to all, but don't doubt. Well, the same here. Lord, change me, and just that we would have love for others, and that it always comes through faith and allowing his spirit to work in our lives, but also coming to know and believe in the love which God has for us.